Amen. The mechanism of hearing from God. Praise the name of the Lord. If you can see my screen, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, good. All right, so we're going to be looking at what I call the mechanism of hearing from God. I may not first can see that this thing is recording. If you cannot see, if you can see it, let me know. If you can observe it.
Yes.
All right. So the reason is for us to have, you know, reference to it when the need arises and all of all that. Great. All right. So remember, can you remember what we talked about the last time about hearing from God? What are the ways to which you can hear God? Can somebody help us?
You hear God through His word, through your dreams,
intuition.
Beautiful.
Is it trance?
Beautiful. You are really following. Now good. So now I'm going to be teaching you on what I call the principles of hearing from God, or the mechanisms of hearing from God. So everything we have in life have principles. Even in science, science have principles. Social sciences have principles. Anything that came to be had principles. So in this case, we're going to be looking at how the principles and mechanisms are for hearing the voice of God. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, in the book of Revelation chapter 2 verse 29, I want somebody to read for us Revelation chapter 2 verse 29. Revelation chapter 2 verse 29.
He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Praise the name of the Lord. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. God bless you, ma. So that tells you that in the Spirit, there is what they call the hearing here. Amen. There is what they call what? The hearing here. If you look at it, it didn't say he would have ears. You say an ear. Amen. So one thing about the Spirit of God is the Spirit of God ministers and speaks to you through your spirit ear. That's another discussion on its own. Amen. So There are principles to hearing from God. And one of the principles is by what? Divine revelation. There are three major principles to which God operates the dynamism of speaking to his people. The first one is through divine revelation, where he unveils things that have been in secret to reveal, to remove a veil of something. That's one of the principles to which God speaks. And in that principle of revelation, there are different dimensions of how he reveals himself in the revelation. Under the revelation, we have the open visions. We have the dream of the night. We have the trances. We have the closed visions, that your eyes is closed and you see visions. That the ones that your eyes is open, you see visions. The trance, your spirit man becomes suspended. Your physical senses become suspended instantly. That's the place of, under the revelatory dimension of the principle of hearing from God. And I told you guys last week that under the revelatory part of hearing from God, there are signs to which you need to understand how the revelatory gifts work. If you don't understand this revelatory thing, you might be lost. God can show you an open vision and you see something like a book comes from heaven and you begin to eat a book and it tells you to eat a book. It happened in the days of Ezekiel. Ezekiel ate a scroll. And the scroll was sweet. Those are revelatory dimensions of God speaking. It sounds something superficial. It sounds like something that doesn't exist in the physical. But you need to be able to understand how that dimensions operate. That's the principle. And the second principle of hearing from God is what I call the inspiration. Somebody say inspiration.
Inspiration.
Now, to be inspired means to be moved by the Spirit. The Bible says Jesus Christ was moved by the Spirit into the wilderness to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. The Bible says that for as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So there are ways in which God can move through you by divine inspiration. How do you get inspired? All of a sudden you just have that burden in your heart. It's an inspiration. All of a sudden you have that burden in your heart to write. Nobody said you just feel like writing something, and as you're scribbling words down, those words are like powerful words, are write-ups that are, you know, very, very beneficial to generations. The scriptures that we are reading today are actually revelatory gifts. The people that wrote them were moved, mighty men of God that were moved by the Spirit of God. They were inspired by the Holy Ghost to write the scriptures. And those scriptures are what we are reading today. You can be inspired by the Holy Ghost to write songs. A lot of songs in our hymnals today are songs that are written by the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Most of the powerful hymns you know today, that even when you sing them today, they are still very powerful. The reason why they are powerful is because they were inspired by the Holy Ghost to write these songs. So that's one of the ways God can speak. It will move you to do things. And also by intuition, you just know things. You just know how to act. The Bible says that the sons of Issachar in the Bible were men that had understanding of the times and season that they were in, and they knew what Israel ought to do. So they had the lead. They knew what to do. They just knew Israel what ought to do. They had that divine inspiration and intuition by the Holy Ghost. There are times that God does not need to speak to you, but even His own presence alone, His presence by light begins to minister to you. That's one of the ways, those are one of the ways God speaks. He doesn't need to open His mouth to speak sometimes. So it's by that inspiration. And the third dimension under the principle of hearing from the Lord is by illumination. Somebody say illumination.
Illumination.
Yeah, illumination. Illumination is like you having an understanding of, you know, getting to have that. God opens your understanding beyond your capacity. There might be a subject you are struggling with. All of a sudden, you have an understanding of that subject. That's divine illumination. You might be reading a verse of the scripture for a very, very long time, but a day will come that you will read that same verse of the scripture and you see a new thing entirely. It means something totally different entirely. And you're like, but I've been reading this thing for years. How come I never saw this? That's God speaking to you under the principle of divine illumination. A lot of men of God fall under this category because that is where they get the rhema of the word they deliver to the people of God, maybe during their sermons and ministrations. The open one verse of the scripture has so many dimensions and understanding begins to comfort. It's under the principle of God's hearing, or principle of us hearing from God by this guise of divine illumination. Praise the name of the Lord. So those are the principles in which we hear the Lord. And under these principles, we have all the vehicles to which God communicates. The reason why God had to create those vehicles is because we naturally, as Adamic in nature as we are, our physical body is dead to the sense of the Holy Spirit. Our physical body, our physical senses, you are not open to the voice of the Holy Ghost, to the voice of God. You know, this thing has caused me to begin to ponder a couple of times. And I'm like, God, I think, you know, I was having a conversation with God one time. And I was like, okay, I think you are not being fair to this generation. Because, you know, each time I read the Old Testament, I see when in the scriptures, you see the word of the Lord came unto this, the word of the Lord came unto this. And I'm like, okay, if the word of the Lord is coming to all these people, why is it that this our generation, we hardly have things like that in our days? Why is it that somebody who can hear God now is like a superstar before everyone? And God made me understand that is not what His intentions are. He took me to Numbers chapter 11 verse 25. I want somebody to open to Numbers 11 verse 25. Numbers. Genesis chapter 11, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers 11. Ma?
Yeah. 11, 25, right?
Yeah, 25 to like 29. Yes, ma'am.
Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and look of the Spirit that was upon him and placed the same upon the 70 elders. And it happened when the Spirit rested upon them that they prophesied, although they never did so again. But two men had remained in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad, and the Spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those listed, but who had not gone out to the tabernacle, yet they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. So Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of the choice men, answered and said, Moses, my Lord, forbid them. 29. Then Moses said to him, are you zealous for my sake? Are you zealous all that, that all the Lord's people were prophets and the Lord would put a spirit upon them?
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, if you look at that, you see that very interesting verse of the scripture you just quoted now? You know, under divine principle, this people felt, okay, because they were in the meeting, they were the only ones that were qualified to hear God. You know, but surprisingly, two men that were not even in that meeting, by divine mystery, because if you look at that 25, it says, and the Lord came down, God came down in a cloud. Now, this is someone that's in our challenge. I said, how can you be appearing to people anyhow? We don't see, okay, when was the last time you came down in the cloud physically in this our generation? I started with that. So, it now took me to 29 and I said, you know, I envious thou for my sake. That was when Moses was talking to God. He said, well, that all the lost people were prophets. So, what that means is that it is the desire of God that everybody will be prophets. In fact, God is excited that everybody will be able to hear him. He said that was the original, you know, intention for creation. So that you don't, all those, in fact, the truth is, if a lot of us as Christians spend our time trying to understand some of all these mysteries and principles and growing our spirit man to be able to hear from God directly, some of all those visits to prophets will not be, you realize that you're even 10 times better than those people. But just that most of us have not spent time to develop our inner man. Most of us have not developed our senses to be able to hear God directly. You realize that you are even a better prophet than this. Because a lot of times, this generation, I perceive, I feel that there are a lot of adulterated, you know, inspired words from the Lord. A lot of people will say God said, but that God did not even say. You know? So, it's the delight of God. It's not that God is selective. But what he's saying here is that it is his desire that everybody will be prophets. How beautiful would it be that everybody can hear the voice of God? If I was going to save you 1,000,001 troubles, how will it be if God physically speaks to you or, you know, says things to you and the next thing, you know, your mind is relaxed? Now, I'm going to go into how to know that God is speaking to you, because one of the things you will know is that you will have peace. In fact, if you think that you heard God and there's no peace, then maybe God, you didn't hear God. You heard yourself, or it was your flesh or something. But when God speaks, there's a mystery. There's a kingdom mystery behind eternal peace. I don't know why that is the language of heaven. I really cannot fathom it, but there is a deep mystery beyond the compass of logic. That when the voice of the Lord comes to you, you will have peace. I cannot explain it. That peace supersedes all understanding. You will not feel misled. You will feel at home. You will feel relaxed. You will be so confident of the fact that you heard him and you know where you are doing or you know where you are going. Praise the name of the Lord. So those are some of the principles of hearing from God. So it is God's desire that everyone will become prophets. Then again, I took him to, I remember I was reading Exodus 25 and I was like, God, look at now. You are giving Moses instructions here. Do this, do that, do that, do that. Why are we not having this in our generation? And the Lord took me back. He took my mind. Now, remember I told you about one of the principles of hearing from God as illumination. He took my mind to the last chapter I read before that. And the Bible says that Moses moved to the mountain where he tarried for 40 days and 40 nights. And I said, God, you know, if anybody fasts for 40 days and 40 nights without food and water now, they might likely die. He now reminded me that they ate manna. I said, okay. Manna is an heavenly food and there's no way you will eat heavenly food and you have earthly appetite. It's not normal. So there's not how somebody will spend time with God and your life, your physical body will remain the same. You will start interacting with spirit. You know, you start having that dimension of oppression. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right. So the truth is, like I mentioned earlier, the several ways in which God speaks to us through anointed teachings, like you hear messages and sermons and some teachings like this that will open your understanding through anointed counsels. Somebody who speaks maybe before you go for a counseling session and there's a burden in your heart and you go for the counseling and the Lord addresses those issues by wise counsel from the anointed speaker. And the next thing you feel that you know, those burden in your heart have been attended to. Those are one of the ways God speaks. Through scriptural references. You can be praying. You're praying really hard. You're praying really hard. All of a sudden, a verse of the scripture drop in your spirit. And next thing you go and check what it is. And you look at it. That word, you just see the solution to what you have been looking for a very long time. That is one of the ways God speaks. Through scriptural references. Open vision. I told you that before. It's like a prophetic gift. You just openly, physically see a television screen. Oh my God. That experience is a very, very powerful. In fact, one of the revelational gifts that I know that when you see it, it changes your doubts about God's voice. You will not even have any doubt. It's so clear. It will look like somebody is showing you a screen. Openly there. Your eyes are open like this. The next one is closed vision. Your eyes are closed. You're seeing things. Trances, your physical senses are suspended through the written word of God. The scriptures, you're going through the scriptures and you can get an encounter there for 3 days. I remember an experience I had while I was reading Zechariah chapter 4. I was hung there for 1 week. I was in tears. I found an encounter there, but just by reading the word of God for 1 week. So I was in serious tears. That's how God can encounter us sometimes, through the word. Then we have what we call anointed music. I remember one time I was praying for something that was taking me so much time and, you know, at that point I said, okay, you know what, I'm not even going to pray about this thing again. And next thing, the song that came, that I was hearing around was, don't give up, it's not over. Oh God, that's what was this? For when you give up, then it's over. Oh. Hold on to the world, the trouble out your head, even when you say it's not over. And I'm like, okay. So really, so God is, you know, that was God speaking through an anointed song. I probably was at the verge of giving up there, but that song was just, it just revived and brought me back to like, okay, you know what, let's get this thing going. Another way God speaks is meditation. Now, Joshua 1 verse 8 is this is a very, very unique and ancient secret of spiritual growth. Meditation. You see the point where you shut down your physical activities and you spend time in the world doing meditation, you get caught up to a dimension of God that when God comes with his word, it becomes so distinct. You cannot be confused about it. You just know that this is God. It's so deep because you didn't even think about it. Don't need meditation. It drops it. It becomes very heavy in your spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. Another way is what I call, your conscience. I mean, this is like the police of our soul. Even if you're not a believer or a child of God, everybody has a conscience. So that conscience will automatically always prick you when you do something bad. No matter how evil you are as a human being. That is like the soul police, the conscience of a man. If you are a serial killer, you have a conscience, no matter how bad you are as a human being. That's like one of the ways God speaks to every human being. Another one is what I call the burden of the heart. Like there's this heaviness in your spirit. Sometimes you don't know what it is, you don't know how to place it, but God is trying to pass a message. It's left for you to be able to understand how that message is or to which he communicates to you better. I know some people, when they want to minister God's word, they pray, and the moment they pray, their heart become heavy. When their heart become very heavy and they minister God's word, it's going to be powerful and heavy. That's one of the ways God speaks. That divine heaviness in the heart might mean something else for someone else. So it's about you knowing what some of all these divine signals are in the spirit realm. The next one is divine ideas. You just have an idea. You don't know, you just feel this is the right thing to do. You want to go about something and this is what comes to mind. And I tell you what, when that divine idea is executed, it comes with divine power. It backs it up. Amen. There's this song called, this popular song called You Are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our God. You are worthy to be praised. Now, that song was originally composed in Zimbabwe language. It was a local pastor in a village, interior village in Zimbabwe, that God showed that song in a dream. He woke up from that dream and he composed that song. And that song was converted to English and everywhere was caught up with that song. So that was a divine idea planted in the head of that pastor. And that song went viral. Amen. So divine ideas, there are a lot of us that God has given divine ideas, but we'll probably have not even taken it seriously. So the truth is God wants to speak to everybody, but it's just that the way to which he communicates, a lot of us are not very conversant with it. Amen. So the next one is called intuition. Intuition, you just know. You don't know why you know, but you just know that this is it. This is the right thing to do. The next one is called internal understanding. You have an understanding of something nobody taught you. You know, the Bible says that the anointing will teach you. Nobody taught you. You just know how to do it. It's a mystery. That's how God speaks. The next one is called the inward witness. Like something just within you can bear witness that this is the right thing. Amen. The next one is what we call the outer voice. Like you hear a very loud voice, but the loud voice, no other person hears it but you. There's a closed outer voice as well, and there's a still small voice. I talked about that last time we spoke. And we have what we call sudden impulse. Like you just have this, movement in your spirit to do things and divine promptings. And you also have a divine visitation when heaven pays you a visit. So truly, if you look at it critically, if you want to operate in a dimension of God where you want to hear God, how many of us want to desire to hear God here? I want to hear you, how many of us desire to hear God from the depth of our heart? Okay. Now, I'll tell you what, in order to be able to hear God without hiccups, in order to be able to hear God without restrictions, then there are certain things that are principle-oriented in that dimension. I have my reasons for saying this because we have a lot of Christians that are not, I'll call them first-hand disciples of Jesus himself. Because if you look at the scriptures, every mighty man that was used by God, they had something known as a divine encounter. Every mighty man that was used by God, they had what they call divine encounter. And that divine encounter is a redefining moment in your life. If you read the book of Job chapter 5, I think it's Job chapter 42 verse 5. Can somebody look at it for us? Job chapter 42 verse 5. Job chapter 42 verse 5. Job chapter 42 verse 5. Is anybody there?
Yeah.
All right. Can you read for us, Rachel?
My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen me.
Okay. It says, I have heard of thee by my hearing, but now I see. So what does that tell you? It tells you that you can hear God, but there's again, have you seen the Lord? That's the question. So this person he has encountered God. Not fully, but the day he saw the Lord, he knew that he has encountered God. Prophet Isaiah said, the day that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Amen. Have you really encountered God? Because that thing is scarce among our present day Christianity. Moses in the Bible, he was a normal human being, not until he had an encounter with God. On the burning bush. And that was a redefining moment in his prophetic destiny. Samuel was a young man. He was just in his own house one day. with his master, and all of a sudden the voice of God came to him. And that was what changed the life of Samuel. Apostle Paul was on his way to Damascus. He wasn't even praying for it. All of a sudden, Jesus appeared and said, "Saul, Saul, why persecuted thou me?" And that was what changed the life of Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was going to go and cause trouble, and he ended up becoming a preacher by divine encounter. So every person, even in our present day, every of the men of God you see today that are top, high there in ministry, at some point in time in their life, there was a divine encounter they had. Jesus Christ was the son of a carpenter, but the moment he got baptized by John the Baptist, the Bible says, and the heaven opened, and a voice came down from heaven and says, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." That was the first time Jesus Christ had an open heaven, and that was the beginning of his ministry. The open heaven of Yehim came upon Jesus for the very first time, that opened the door of his ministry. And he began to operate in what he was operating on, that led him to becoming the savior of the world. Your father in the Lord, Dr. Luke, had an encounter with God at some point in time. He said the day he heard, he said when he heard that voice, he said he didn't know how he got home that day. Whether it was his head he used to go home or his leg. He just wanted to run out of the world and go and hide somewhere because he wanted to still continue hearing that voice. It was so, it has never happened. It was weird. It was strange to him. You know, that was a unique encounter that he had in his life. Joshua Selman, who is a very renowned preacher of the world now, said Jesus Christ entered into his room for the first time in his life, and the light that came from the hands of Jesus that entered into him that day, he said, "How he did not die is one question we'll ask Jesus when he gets to heaven." Divine encounter. One of the preachers known as Aroma Osai also has an encounter with Jesus. He was praying one day and Jesus walked into his room. So every man you see that God used at some point in time in their ministries had heavenly visitation. Apostle Babalola too had a divine encounter. An angel appeared to him and told him to embark on a 7-day dry fast. And the moment he did that, that was the beginning of his ministry and the revival that happened in his time. So a divine encounter, like the likes of this popular apostle, Benson Idahosa. Idahosa was studying the word of God one day and he saw, "With God, all things are possible." And he went to meet his pastor. He said, "Pastor, they say with God all things are possible, right?" The pastor said, "Yes." Say, "Eh. So does this mean that I can pray for the dead and they will rise?" He said, "Yes." He said, the pastor said, "Even though you have not tried it before, but it's possible since Jesus has said it." He said, "Eh." And that's okay. He went around the whole of Benin City looking for a dead person. He was happy. He went to his house and he saw that there was a child that just died. He said, "Eh, this is what he's looking for." He entered there and carried the Bible. The Bible says that with God all things are possible. And you, this child, in the name of Jesus, because they say it's possible, rise up and walk. And the child sneezed back to life. And the revival broke out in that place. He went to another place again, did the same thing. Everywhere scattered. A child rose again. Another rose about 3 places. And that was the beginning of the revival that took place. Since that day, Idahosa has so much confidence in the word of God. So an encounter is like the first time you launch into that dimension of hearing God. Amen. You cannot take away the place of divine encounter. And two, number one thing you must do if you want to really grow in hearing God in that dimension, cultivate the habit of prompt obedience to God. When God says do this, do it. When God says sit down, sit down. Because the truth is the wisdom of God is the foolishness of men. I remember that king in the Bible where they told him to go and bath in the River Jordan 7 times. He said, lie over his dead body. How will he go and do that? What kind of, I don't know other, you know, clean rivers that people can go and buy. Why is it that river that is stinking that I should go and throw myself in? And thank God that he even obeyed the voice of the servant that spoke to him the other time and his life changed. So anything God tells you to do, do it. It might look very stupid, but the truth is in the foolishness of, you know, men, there is the wisdom of God. So the more you are prompt in your obedience to God, the more the voice of God becomes clearer. And that's the period that you get more pruning, more shaping, more Tristan, you know, you just hear that voice, fast for 3 days, don't eat, don't food, no food, no water. Ah, you hear that voice, pray, wake up and pray for 7 hours. Ah, you hear that voice, go and preach. Ah, yeah. You hear that voice, read the Bible. Ah, you say, God, what is all this? All those, if I, you have finished cooking food, Seth, you want to eat, and the next thing you just hear, don't eat that food. Ha! Ah. You're laughing. These are cases that, these are ways to, you know, God wants to shape on a man. He wants to first, you know, when you want to carve a structure, you shape on it to the right shape, you know, you chisel out the things you don't want in something for it to bring that. That's how it is when God is shaping us for us to become instruments in his hand. It's just like a biro. If you have a pen and you want to write with a pen, just imagine if the pen is struggling to be used. It will be difficult for you to even enjoy using that pen.
True.
That's how we are in the hands of God. Mm. When we are very easy to use, he can use us to any level. He can do anything with you. So when he does all those pruning, he's trying to shape on you. He's trying to craft you. Mm. He's trying to bring out the best in you. It comes with so much pain. God will say, okay, you know what? Don't go on social media for the next 7 days. Ah, you almost died. Don't be on Snapchat for 7 days. Ah, log out. I don't want to see you on social media. Ah, that friend, don't talk to him again. I don't want to see you around that. Ah, in fact, those things are difficult. They're usually those things that cost you so much. You know, I remember one time I got one salary then when I was still in Nigeria and I was excited. I wanted to use the money. I just said that voice, go and put everything inside of it. Ah, God, I said, God. Oh, I almost died. I'm like, how do I cope? You know, but you know, all these things are prunings, and I'm like, I'm sure God will just be looking at this. I doesn't even know what I have in stock for him. And I like, you know what, well, let me just do what I did. I did all that, and at the end of the day, the mysteries that this thing launched me into and the open doors I got, I realized that I didn't even survive on my own money, but somehow there was those divine provision and providence. Mm. So, you know, so it pays to listen to the voice of God. I've seen many mighty men fall out of not hearing God. People that were on fire for God. In fact, I will tell you the truth. Everybody, even if you are a high, high, mighty man in the things of God, you are still a learner in hearing God.
True.
Everybody, in fact, always don't get too familiar with hearing God. Work with God like you are just learning or starting to hear him, because that's how you will enjoy him. If you become too familiar with God, oh my goodness, you are ready for your downfall. You, if care is not taken, you will have a case where your yesterday will be better than your present. Mm. It's not a good thing. So part time, the ministry of hearing God before you even do anything would save you a lot of stress. We're in a generation whereby we can't afford not to hear God, because you can't afford to do things on your own way. You need to endorse him. You need to give him that. You need to spend time and really, really hear him and get directions or directives from him before you embark on anything. Otherwise, it might be very, very dangerous. Praise the name of the Lord. So those are some dimensions to which God works in our life. So cultivate the habit of obedience. And again, be prepared to look foolish in the eyes of men. Oh, if God starts with you and he wants to make you hear him, in fact, you will hear some of the weirdest instructions you have never had in your life. I remember that prophet in the Bible, Hosea, that God told him to marry a prostitute. Can you imagine that? How many persons would do that in these days? In fact, there was a prophet in the Bible, God told him to sleep with half of his body, one side of his body, for I think 100 and something or 200 and something days. Sleep with one side of your body. Now, just imagine looking at that. Even the great apostle, there was a time God told him to rub his face with something and leave and all that. And I'm like, what? You will be prepared to look foolish before men. You know, so it takes, I pray God will help us. It's not easy.
Amen.
I remember some years ago when I was still doing my IT as a young undergraduate. I was believing God for something. I was praying and fasting and all that. And God said, you know what? Go on fasting for 1 day. Oh, I was okay. 1 day. Let's go 1 day dry. And as I was about to break the fast, I said, you know what? Move it to 2 days. I said, Jesus, what's this? When I want to break, Okay, I went to 2 days. As I wanted to break it, I said, move it to 3 days. I was like, what is this? This is girl. I was like, oh, please. He said, shit, you want to work with me? You need to be able to sacrifice things. I was like, God, oh, you know, please, God, this is too much for me. You can't continue to do this, Lord. He said, well, that is the price you have to pay. You know, so that ability to listen to God in a very, very proper time will save you a lot of stress and troubles. In fact, the tactics of the enemy, you will receive divine safety from it. Amen. So you need to also be, careful what you allow into your ear. Gossips. You know, the Bible says, guide your heart with all diligence, for out of it proceed the issues of life. There are problems in life. You know, you need to be careful. Stop listening to gossips or anything that will slander anybody. Once you're able to let them know, okay, this thing you're telling me now, how edifying is it? If the person cannot give you an answer, then forget it. There's no point engaging in such discussion. Worthless and useless discussions are not necessary when you really want to grow with God. Amen. And again, you need to spend time meditating. That meditation is a very deep spiritual secret. You see, people that do not believe in God, that use necromancy, they do what they call yoga. They can do a yoga and it can be in a position for hours, and their spirit is connected to a realm of the supernatural beyond the physical, and they are meditating by spirit. So, but in this case of God, why meditating with what? The word of God. The Bible says in the book of Joshua 1 verse 8 that this book of the law will not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest of thou to do according to all that is written therein. So then it will make your way prosperous and you will have what? Good success. So meditation is a very powerful key, day and night. There's no way you will do meditation day and night for 1 year, for 1 month, and you will not hear God. It's not possible. You will hear. Amen. And again, another thing is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We cannot overemphasize the role of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Please, it's very key. You need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues. Very, very critical. The Bible says that in Acts of the Apostles, he told them, tarry in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. They waited in Jerusalem, and the Bible says, and there was a rushing mighty wind that came from heaven and filled the house, and they began to speak in diverse tongues. And as they were speaking in diverse tongues, there was this boldness that came upon Peter. He preached, and over 3,000 souls were won for Jesus. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. In fact, when you get baptized by the Holy Ghost, you get different dimensions with God operating you. The more spirit-filled you are by the Holy Spirit, the greater the dimension of His revelation, of God's revelation to you. In different from God will just be revealing Himself to you, you know, through His Spirit. And again, don't judge anybody by physical appearance. It might sound weird, but it's very true. Don't judge. Then another thing which is very key, which is an ancient secret, is prayer. Fervent prayers. If you want to hear God, I would say pray more fast often. Pray more fast often. Pray more fast often. Pray more fast often. Fasting will humble your spirit. Prayers. The Bible says that men ought to always pray and not faint. So prayer is like your, is a commandment. It's a must. It's like your oxygen. Let me use that word. Like the oxygen of your spirit, man. Just like the way your physical body needs air. Can you hear me, guys? Just like the way your physical body needs air, prayer is like the oxygen to which your spirit will breathe. So if your spirit is not getting oxygen, how will it be alive to receive, you know, directions? How will it be alive to receive the message from God? So prayer is like the oxygen. So you need to keep praying every day. You need to be, just like the way you are gymming your body physically. That is the way you do your spirit, man, when you pray. You are gymming. I don't know why this is coming deeply now. I didn't think of this, but that's, you're like gym, you're exercising. Jude 1 verse 20 says, building up yourself in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. It's like you're gym, you're carrying weight in the spirit. Oh God. You know, you're carrying weight. You're carrying spiritual weight in the spirit. Each time you pray, you're becoming more sensitive to His voice. Each time you pray, you're becoming more intuitive. You're becoming more discerning in your ability to know the right and wrong. So you can't joke with the role of prayer. If you are not a prayerful Christian, you will just be like a fly that cannot perceive where there's danger. Amen. So, and of all, or most importantly, every believer must have one way to which God speaks to them. If you don't have one way to which God speaks to you, then there's trouble, because it might not be too good for you. There must be at least one way. And I'm sure all of you know how God speaks to you. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, so I think that's all we have for today. Next series, we're going to be looking at other dimensions of, like, activating our spirit senses and knowing how God will speak to us. Praise the name. I don't know if you have any questions, guys.
Uncle, are you going to send this on the chat?
Oh, you sent it on the chat?
No, I said, are you going to send it on the chat?
Oh, you mean, yeah, I will. I will send it on the chat, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, does anybody have any question?
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody have any question? Nobody, right?
No.
All right. Auntie, do you have anything to say?
No, it's my next one. Thank you.
Huh?
Well, that was a very nice one, Brother Jude. Auntie's here. Hello.
Hey, Auntie, where are you?
Sorry. Earlier, I was in the middle of another meeting.
All right. We could hear your voice. You know, you were giving power instructions where you are. We could feel you.
That was actually a very wonderful one, Brother Jude. It just reminds me personally of the fact that I need to open up my ears more and my heart more to hear.
Mm.
So I should be told, sometimes we think the voices we hear are from the voice of God, but sometimes it's not.
Exactly.
Because we, sometimes when we are expecting some things, you just focus on those things, not knowing that the things we're focusing are not what we're supposed to be thinking about.
Mm.
By doing that, we just lose our focus and focus on something that is not supposed to be. So that was actually just reminding me, like, nah, I need to keep up my faith and focus on the right things instead of the things of this world.
Wisdom. You know,
in relation to what Sister Funke just said about some things which you heard which might not be, so how can we differentiate between the voice of God and the voices we hear?
Okay, good. Now, this is a very, very interesting or very good. I like that question. Now, I would say this. God, the voice of God is not a confusing voice. It's distinct. Okay? Now, there are times you hear three things more than one. Maybe I hear Femi, I hear Wale, I hear Dari, and all that at once. You're praying for something, and you hear different voices. In fact, when you hear those, forget it. The voice of God is not in it. Now, one of the currency of the spirit is peace. And I mentioned it earlier. There's this joy that supersedes all understanding that comes when God speaks. Your mind will be so at rest. There is this peace that money cannot buy. And I know one thing for sure. He doesn't even talk too much. He just talks one like this. That powerful voice can save a generation. You know? Yeah. So his voice is very, very distinct, and he doesn't really make noise like that. He speaks once and he doesn't, you know, talk too much.
Okay.
But like, most importantly, identify the way he speaks to you. Because once you identify that way, it's easier for him to come, because he tries to communicate in different forms. I'll talk about that maybe the next time we're going to be having a discussion. And you know, it comes with, but you need to know how best does God communicate to you. You look at your life in the past, different things that you have done with God and how he was able to handle it with you and all that, you know. So you should trust that. So I need to round up. My pastor wants us to round up. All right. Because we're using pastor's link. So let's thank him. All right. Okay. So, we'll round up now. Can you play for us or I'll end up? Can anybody pray for us while we end up now? Hello? Alright, let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for today. We bless your holy name for your word. Lord, have your way. Take control of our our lives for the next of the week, and as we move on for the rest of our activities, glorify yourself in our life. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, guys. See you guys next week. Let's join the House Fellowship now. All right. Take care. Bye. 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 Bye.